This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
The world doesn't need another sports show. It needs an awesome sports show. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. Neil, the boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto. I'm your host, Walter Rigabon. As usual, with me in studio, my co-host, Naz Marchese. And joining us in studio this morning, former Washington Capital, former Toronto Maple Leaf, and a friend of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. At least some Sundays, he's a friend of ours. Lou Franceschetti. Good morning, Lou. How are you?
Morning, Wally. I'm driving down here this morning, and I'm surprised this part of the city is still in one piece after last night.
Certainly, you brought us right to the topic of conversation. So I was at the game yesterday, and just to give our listeners an idea of what we'll be chatting about today, obviously, Toronto has become the city of champions in a very short period of time. So the TFC, the Reds, won the MLS Cup last night at BMO Field in an exciting game, so we're certainly going to chat about that. And right after our first break, a gentleman I was privileged to spend some time with yesterday watching the game, the mayor of the city of Vaughan, who actually was a quite talented soccer player in his younger years, and he's a passionate soccer fan and a passionate supporter of TFC and the TFC team that plays in Vaughan. Well, of course, we're talking about Mayor Maurizio Bevilacqua. We're thrilled to talk to him about last night's game. He was jumping up and down when TFC scored that goal, and we were all thrilled about that victory. Of course, there's another team in town that sort of people haven't been talking about for the last two or three or four days anyways. Of course, we're talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs, and on the radar screen, they delivered a victory last night against the Pittsburgh Penguins and in Pittsburgh, and we'll be talking to Lance Hornby, the writer for the Toronto Sun and the National Post, talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs. An exciting time in Toronto sports history. Naz, I was at the game. I know you watched the game. Lou, you watched the game. We talked about it. My voice is a little bit hoarse this morning. I was excited, and I was thrilled and passionate, and your impressions of the game and the celebration.
Totally dominant last night, for sure. Toronto FC dominated the play, and it seemed like Seattle never touched the ball the whole game, just the way it looked. And I was getting worried at the 65-minute mark and no score yet, but Altidore has come back with two big goals in the last two games. Very good effort.
Lewis?
I didn't watch last year's game, but I heard a lot about it, and it's... Last night, I usually don't watch soccer, especially MLS, but I was intrigued last night on seeing compared to what they did last year. And it was one of those games that you knew Toronto was kept on pushing. After Altidore scored that goal in the 67th minute, you were just wondering and biting your fingernails if whether the Sounders were going to come back and just score the one goal. And they almost did.
They almost did.
It was intriguing. It was great. It brought a tear to my eye to finally watch an actual Toronto franchise win a championship. I didn't watch the Argo game 2 weeks ago, but it was nice to see watch all the followers. This franchise has been amazing since the first day it got named, and it was great to watch all those people. I wish they would have played it in the Rogers Centre. They probably would have gotten 50,000 people in there, and it would have been a zoo.
It was. I'll respectfully disagree with that, Lou. I don't think this game should not have been at the Rogers Centre. It was in the perfect place. BMO Field is a great venue for soccer, and the field was fine. They heat the field. The air was kind of cool, but it didn't seem to affect the game as much as I think it affected last year's game. It wasn't as cold last night. I mean, I was dressed. I was ready to survive an Antarctic march with the penguins, with all the layers and everything else I had on. So I never actually got cold. But there were some people around me that were sort of feeling it a little bit. But it didn't seem to affect the game at all. TFC came out, and, you know, I mean, I'm a passionate soccer fan, and I mean, I'd love to have this conversation with Mayor Bevilacqua in a few minutes. And I was just – I know that Altidore – and you and I talked about this earlier, Lou. I know that Altidore won the MVP. But I watched that game, and we were behind one of the nets. It was the net, unfortunately, not the net where the TFC ended up scoring the goals. So I actually really haven't seen the Altidore goal yet. I haven't had time to see the highlights. I mean, I was physically in the stadium, but my eyesight not being what it used to be, it was difficult for me to see the other end of the field. All I know is when it happened, I didn't see the ball go into the net. I just can't see that far. I mean, it just the eruption. I mean, it was just insane. And the first thing that came to me is I looked around and I asked Maurice, is there a flag? Like the first thing you think about in soccer now.
It's a penalty.
I says, I've just jumped 18 inches in the air. And please don't tell me there's a flag because I couldn't see that far. I didn't see the play develop. And then, you know, everybody looked around. And I said, there's no flag. And I saw all the players celebrating in the corner. And I said, oh, what a relief. And it was just the most – I mean, if you haven't been to BMO Field – I mean, I was there last year when they played the Impact in that incredible game, the second game. And last night when Altidore – I mean, it's just the whole place just shakes. It's just the most incredible venue. But going back to Altidore, the beast in that game was Michael Bradley. I mean, he was everywhere on that pitch. I mean, I was, you know, watching him. He was playing like a man possessed. Absolutely no question. He was heads and shoulders the best player on the field. Just an absolutely remarkable performance. I think he was playing. I mean, Vanny's setup. And sorry to tell you. I mean, I'm sorry to.
Yeah, they played a 4-4-2 last night.
Yeah, they played the 4-4-2 last night, and it was a change from the setup he had before. I think it was a 5-3-2. They call it a diamond or 3-5-2. So he gave Vanny all the credit in the world. I mean, he put a formation out there, but Bradley, I think, was playing position we used to call sweeper or close to it. I don't even know what they call it. I mean, none of these guys
midfielder.
Have...
Midfielder.
Yeah, he was playing both sides of the field. He was up and down. He was chasing the ball down. He was encouraging his teammates. He was the ultimate captain last night. It was just watching him and, you know, thinking about the days that I used to play in them and the soccer players that I admired when I grew up and watching Bradley. I mean, he just – and I get it. You know, I'm going to get criticized because it's not European soccer. It's not La Liga. It's not the Premier. It's not Serie A. You know, I don't want to hear that this morning. In that match last night, Michael Bradley played like a world-class footballer. He really did. He elevated his game. He's just like – have you ever heard the term refuse to lose? That was Michael Bradley last night. I don't know your impressions, Lou, the same, Naz?
He's been the best player on the team for the last 2 years. He's that good. And you got to remember the sweeper or the midfielder position is like the quarterback in football. And you're a very important person on the pitch. And Bradley's been a great player ever since he got here.
Anyways, we've got to go. I mean, I apologize to you two guys. I got a little bit long-winded there. I get passionate about this stuff. And every now and then you just got to tell me to shut up. That's okay. But I felt like I had to get that out. We've got a couple little minutes over time here before break. So we got to get the break. Another really passionate soccer fan is going to be on the line right after the break. And that, of course, is the Honorable, the Mayor of the City of Vaughan, my good friend, and our good friend, Naz's good friend, and Lou's good friend, Maurizio Bevilacqua. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville announced that you can get a three-topping party pizza with 24 slices for just $24. It's perfect for large groups on a budget, like staff meetings, sports teams, or special ops units.
Go, 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 go! Everybody down!
So before you break down any doors, get a three-topping party pizza with 24 square slices for just $24. Call Pizzaville on your cell phone at #3636.
There's an old saying, entrepreneurship doesn't build character, it reveals character. Entrepreneurs learn to trust a person by trusting people. The law firm Rigabon Carly understands this. They know all about entrepreneurs because they work for them. Every day, they've earned their trust. They know that when it comes to meeting the legal and business needs of entrepreneurs, good enough is not enough. Rigabon Carly, the intelligent choice.
Steels Paint in Woodbridge, an enormous 20,000 square foot superstore that carries nothing but the best. Superior staff, superior advice, superior selection, superior everything. When you have a really tough job to do, they can knock it down to size. They'll show you how to get it done right, and because they only sell the best of everything, you'll get it done to last. That means superior satisfaction. Steels Paint, 4190 Steels Avenue West in Woodbridge, the best.
This is Daryl Sittler for Alta Infinity in Vaughan. I've worked with some pretty great teams over the years, and the staff at Alta ranks among the very best. Expert sales, superior service, and the largest selection of Infinity cars and SUVs in Canada, and the most competitive pricing anywhere. It's no wonder that Alta has been an all-star performer for well over a decade. Visit AltaInfinityWoodbridge.com, or better yet, drop by the No. 7 Auto Mall at the corner of Martin Grove and Highway 7. Experience the difference that makes Alta Infinity the captain's choice.
Are they ever wrong about sports? I can answer that in two words. Impossible. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto on the new AM 740 and once again in downtown Toronto. Also broadcasting on 96.7 FM. On the internet, live streaming at www.zoomerradio.ca. We're still, the voice is a little bit rough this morning. Still recovering from the celebrations from last night. And we're pleased to welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour the Honorable, the Mayor of the City of Vaughan, Maurizio Bevilacqua. Good morning, Mayor. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Great. Just as well recovering from that fantastic, magical moment last night at BMO Field. A great victory, great team. Overall, a wonderful experience.
And certainly, and you know, you and I, we were privileged to share watching the game together yesterday. And I know that you were, you're a passionate soccer fan in a lot of ways. You're a passionate TFC fan. Of course, TFC has had their team in the city of Vaughan as well. And not only a passionate soccer fan, I'm pleased to tell the our listening public that we've known each other for a long time, and you're a pretty good soccer player when you were in your youth as well, and it's a passion of yours. The game yesterday, your assessment from a technical point of view, what impressed you more about TFC than anything else?
Well, I would say, for example, that Michael Bradley really stood out. Jozy Altidore did what he had to do. Jovinko did as well. I also think the addition of Vasquez this season has been really a very important part of the team's success. And Greg Vanney has really matured into a world-class coach. They have a great office, front office with Tim Bezuchenko, and as well as Bill Manning. Tannenbaum has been able to build something really special in the MLS. I mean, everything came together, and you know, Vasquez, of course, was I think a key to this year's success. But overall, let's not forget that over 30,000 people showed up. The fans are by far the best in the MLS. The energy was unlike the prior game. The energy was very high amongst the fans, and the result was just perfect. 2-0. Nobody can say anything about that score. It's clear, and it crystallizes really the whole journey towards the MLS Cup. This is a team that has won, broken many records, won the Supporters' Shield, won the Canadian Championship, has won now the MLS Cup. They have in Jozy Altidore an MVP, all-star player. As I said earlier, Jovinko with his precision passing to Josie made it happen as well. So overall, very, very, what's really important, Wally, as well, is the journey, right? I mean, now the cup has been raised, but the journey that took that team to where they ended up has really been a wonderful sports story.
Mayor, it's Naz Marchese. How are you today?
Hi, Naz. Good morning.
Good morning. Soccer's been a tough sell since the early 60s. People have been trying to bring soccer in. How come this was so successful?
Well, this is successful because they have real professionals running it. I think that you're part of a MLSC, which is an organization that really understands sports. They've been able to attract a lot of fans. I remember, and Wally would remember, we used to get excited if, you know, we went to watch NSL soccer and draw, and people, 4,000 or 5,000 people would show up. That would be a great show. But this is a different time. The MLS structure, I think, is the right structure. You know, look, they invested heavily in Michael Bradley, Josie Altidore, and as well as Jovinko. These are high salary players who created the excitement and the buzz that soccer needed, and people responded. But, you know, you get 72,000 people now in Atlanta, and this is a real league. They're not getting this type of numbers in Europe. So it really shows that with when you get professionals running the sports, you can achieve great things.
Talking to Mayor Maurizio Bevilacqua of the city of Vaughan, and one thing that really struck me as I was leaving the stadium last night, and then I heard the interview with Altidore, and Altidore made the comment. He thanked all the Toronto fans, and he said Toronto's the greatest place in the world to be. And that just struck me, because what happened is, you know, we've had two celebrations in the last couple of weeks. And, Mayor, I want you to, you know, to comment on this and how this is a reflection of the great city. You know, obviously Toronto's a city, but we're part of an area called the Greater Toronto Area, which is, of course, Vaughan is a key part of that. There's no talk of violence this morning. There's no talk of property damage. I'm walking out of the stadium yesterday with thousands of other people that are just happy and looking for a place to celebrate. And what does that say about this particular area of the world that we live in?
Well, let's look at that stadium. That stadium is filled of people that come from all over the world. There's a dignity and an integrity, and there's a character to the city of Toronto and the GTA. You're talking about a place on earth that is very, very special, and a place where people feel comfortable, where people have a great deal of mutual respect, understanding, compassion for each other. And yesterday, you're right, there was a civility to the experience that was palpable, in the sense that people were truly in a joyful state, in a peaceful state, embracing the moment and living that particular moment right there and then. And that's what cities throughout the world ought to be like. And we're very fortunate, of course, that we get to live in this paradise on earth.
Lou?
Maurizio, it's Lou Francescetti. How are you this morning?
Hi, Lou. Good morning.
I remember listening to last year's game, and as disappointing as it was outplaying this Seattle team and losing on penalty kicks, and the way they came out last night, I was shocked to see how they really didn't sit back. It didn't look like last year was even played. They more or less, they took the play right to Seattle, right from the first kick of the ball. I was really enjoyed in watching the way that they did play and the composure that they kept against the Seattle team, knowing that Seattle hadn't allowed a goal in almost, two months here?
Since October, early October.
October 1st. So kudos to the TFC tonight and also the fans and making this place a great place to play for the city. Moving forward, where is this Toronto TFC going? How many players are they having coming back? Are they going to keep the core intact? And will there be any moves in the season to make this team better? Because you know they're going to have a target on their back next year.
That's right. But I do think that the journey they went through last year by losing on penalty kicks really strengthened the character of the team. I think you'll see the core coming back. It's very important, of course, to keep people like Jozy Altidore and Michael Bradley and Vasquez. And let's not forget something. Alex Bono kept this team in some games as well. So sometimes he's forgotten. He's an excellent keeper, and every team needs that. But Lou, as a former professional athlete, you would know that, you know, after you raise a Stanley Cup, in your case, after you do that, really what's really important is the journey that took you there, right? One thing I noticed as well last night, people weren't leaving right away. They stuck around. They really were enjoying the moment. I predict that the core will stay. And 2018 will be the year where they really have to confirm that they are the greatest team ever assembled. Greg Vanney, in an interview last night, actually said that he feels this is the best MLS franchise ever put together. I also have to say something about Greg Vanney. He showed a lot of class putting in Benoit Chéroux near the end there. Benoit, I don't know what his future holds, but it was great to see him. He's around 36, 37 years old, stepping on the field and playing, even though the last 5-10 minutes. I think that shows the type of character that that Greg Vanney has. He's a class act, and the team obviously has responded. So I think Tim Bezbachenko, as well as Bill Manning and Greg, will keep the core team. There's no question. And the following next year will be just as like this year. Now we have to look forward to another MLS Cup where we actually can say, look, we're reconfirming our greatness as an MLS franchise.
We're talking to Mayor Maurizio Bevilacqua of the City of Vaughan. Maurizio, we won't keep you much longer, but there is an important event coming up that we should chat about just for a couple of minutes. And I've had an office in the City of Vaughan almost basically since I started. It's been 30 years, and there's what I consider might be the most important event in the history of the city, if not the most important event in the history of the city, probably pretty close. Of course, that's the December 17th is an incredibly important moment in the history of the City of Vaughan. You're important in that story, and tell us all about that momentous day.
Yes, we're going to be the first city outside of the City of Toronto to actually have a subway. We're going to have three stations in the City of Vaughan. For us, it's a great opportunity. We're building the Vaughan Metropolitan Center around the stations. It's opened up incredible potential. 30,000 people will live and or work in that area. The subway has transformative powers for our city. We're going to have approximately 1.5 million square feet of office space. 12,000 residential units will be built, and that's going to be just in that core area. So it's going to be a great day, December 17th. But let's also not forget, it's going to be a great convenience for the users who are going to, of course, go to downtown Toronto or elsewhere using this new subway. So it's great. And when you couple it with, we're building a $1.8 billion hospital, the first smart technology hospital in Canada. This is certainly the golden era for the City of Vaughan.
We've been talking to Mayor Maurizio Bevilacqua. Maurizio, thanks so much for joining us. Really remarkable event last night, and we wish you all the best. Thank you. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Ollie, Lou, and Naz. Have a great day.
Have a great day, Mayor Bevilacqua. Gentlemen, the discussion has already started. The preliminary reports are, and it's really difficult to argue with this, TFC is the greatest. This year's edition of TFC is the greatest team in MLS history. In fact, Alexi Lawless tweeted that last night, American international, that you'd be shocked that he would make that claim. But he tweeted, Alexi Lawless used to be the keeper, I believe, on a whole bunch of U.S. national teams. He's a soccer analyst for Fox Sports. Tweeted last night that TFC is the greatest franchise in MLS history. Pretty tough for an American to concede that to a Canadian team, number one. But is there any argument, any discussion whatsoever? Certainly, we're probably biased in this part of the world, but their accomplishments this year are really, really massive. There's that debate, and there's no question in my mind that this is the greatest season in MLS history. The next debate starts, where does this TFC team fit in the greatest teams in Toronto sports history? And I'm certainly, you got to think about that one. And I don't want to hear those guys that say that this is minor league soccer. When we were watching last night, we certainly didn't feel it was minor league soccer. There were 31,000 crazy fanatic Toronto fans that were having the time of their lives. So we didn't think it was minor, and I don't think it's minor league soccer. Can they compete with the top teams in Europe? Probably not. But Maurizio Bevilacqua, Mayor Bevilacqua, made a really interesting point, which is absolutely true. The average attendance at a Serie A game in Italy is now 22,000-23,000 people. TFC averages 30,000 people. So any preliminary thoughts of where this TFC team's? I mean, obviously, we have the Blue Jays from the early 90s. We have the Leaf, some of the great Leaf teams in history. We've got some of the great Argo teams in history. But this TFC team, I think, the greatest team in their sport, in their league, in North America, man, you got to put them up there pretty high. Any preliminary thoughts?
Well, it's that's a tough question only because I guess their record speaks for themselves this year. The points, what is so good about it is the way they came back after last year's defeat. They could have easily folded at the start of the year, been frustrated and taken things over. But what they've done, they built with Vasquez coming in, and they said, boys, this is our year. We got a taste of what it tastes to lose last year. This year, we're going to go all the way. And you look at the great Blue Jay teams in 92, 93. You look at the Leaf teams back in the 60s. You look at back even with the Argos that they had through their runs. It's a tough, really, thing to grasp. And you could put them up there in the top five. There's really not much space between the best Leaf team, but less the Argos team, and the best Blue Jay team of all time. So it's great to put them in that same talk. Let's see what happens now, if they can come back, or is just this year just one of those years that everything fell in place for them?
I think they're in the top five for sure. They were the best team and they won, right? But Larry Tannenbaum has hoisted two cups now. You know what the third one is?
Well, we know, and we're going to talk about that right after the break with Lance Hornby. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville introduced the Pizzaville app. Order your Pizzaville favourites right on your cell phone. It's easy, fast, and unlike other apps, the Pizzaville app lets you order and pay for your food. Okay, I've opened the app. Now I'm placing my order. Now I've paid for my order. Whoa. Download your free Pizzaville app today from the Apple App Store or Google Play.
At Titanium Logistics, we believe that choosing the right shipping company comes down to two issues, price and cost. Most prices are competitive, will likely save you money too, but the cost of choosing the wrong company to service your cross-border freight to and from the U.S. and Mexico can be extraordinary. If it's not where it should be, when it should be, that bargain price, worthless. Titanium Logistics. On time, on budget. Call 905-266-3014. Ask for Blair Downey.
At 20,000 square feet, Steeles Paint in Woodbridge is Canada's largest independent paint store. Big deal, right? Big deal, yes. The best brands, the best staff, the best advice, the best of everything. From color matching to brand selection, whether you're a pro or a DIYer, we'll look after you from the minute you walk in to the minute you walk in a second time as a completely satisfied customer. Big store, big deal, bigger satisfaction. Simple. Steeles Paint, 4190 Steeles Avenue West in Woodbridge.
This is Daryl Sittler for Alta Infinity in Vaughan. I've worked with some pretty great teams over the years, and the staff at Alta ranks among the very best. Expert sales, superior service, and the largest selection of Infinity cars and SUVs in Canada, and the most competitive pricing anywhere. It's no wonder that Alta has been an all-star performer for well over a decade. Visit AltaInfinityWoodbridge.com, or better yet, drop by the No. 7 Auto Mall at the corner of Martin Grove and Highway 7. Experience the difference that makes Alta Infinity the captain's choice.
They never argue sports. They just explain while they're always correct. The boys are back. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village, still celebrating TFC's victory, but we've got another important team in town that's making a little bit of a run, and hopefully Larry Tannenbaum's going to be three times lucky, but we're going to joining us right now is Lance Hornby. Lance Hornby's, of course, found in the Post Media Network, the Toronto Sun, the National Post, and papers all across the country, writing about the Toronto Maple Leafs and all other topics hockey-wise. Lance, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thanks so much for joining us. We're going to change topics. We've been talking TFC all morning long, but now we've got the team in blue and white, and Naz is wearing his Toronto Maple Leafs uniform this morning. Lance, the Leafs, big victory last night. Leafs have been sort of overshadowed for the last two, three, 4 days in this city, perhaps the whole week. But they've certainly an accomplishment beating two-time Stanley Cup winner in their own barn last night. Your impressions of the game?
Well, certainly they gave Pittsburgh everything they could handle. They scored early, which helps, and took advantage of Tristan Jarry, the Pittsburgh goaltender who's filling in for the starter. He's not been off to a great start. Matt Murray out for a few days, and that's throwing this kid in. I saw him a little bit in the rookie tournaments the last couple of years. Everyone has to start somewhere. He's going through a bit of a rough patch right now, but generally Pittsburgh hanging in, and any team obviously with Crosby, Malkin, and Kessel can't be ignored. And let's remember they came a post away from tying that game last night. But I guess if you go back a little further, this I think is the sixth or seventh game Toronto has played against an opponent who had a top flight player or two or three guys, going back to that game against Ovechkin about 10 days ago. Then they went out west, saw McDavid once. They saw the strong Calgary team. They played the Sedins. They've since come back and played Calgary again. Pittsburgh last night with Crosby, as you mentioned. And then tonight, Connor McDavid. So be interesting to see. Looks like they're going to come out of it with at least a .500 record, which is pretty good. And it bodes well for them going forward once they get through this very tough stretch of road games leading into a much more favorable schedule in January.
Lance, the Toronto Marlies have probably the best record in the AHL right now. How did the Leafs do it? They have a great team up in the NHL, and the Marlies are playing great. And is there any players down there that are ready to go?
Yeah, you know what? They have guys like Kapanen who's come back. They got a kid named Andreas Johnsson who I believe is their leading scorer on the Marlies, and nobody's really seen him in Toronto yet. Guy came over from the Swedish champions Frölunda a couple of years ago and has played quite well. And they made a good trade for Kirby Reichel, a former first-round draft choice of Columbus, who's still young, still might have something to say. I'm sure they'd want to nurture some of those defensemen down there. Travis Dermott, I think, had a multi-point game last night. Andrew Nielsen is a player the Leafs have watched for a little bit. And, of course, the number one draft pick, Timothy Liljegren, is down there as well. So they do, compared to other years, have a very good talent base which to draw from. And I'm sure Mike Babcock's knocking on wood as we speak, but I think they're only at 9 or 10 man games lost to injury, which is quite remarkable. And if they can somehow keep that going, and utilize the healthy lineup they have here in Toronto, it's going to serve them well heading down to the playoffs. Cause I think it's no team is going to go through the season without some kind of significant injury. But right now Toronto's leading a charmed life.
Lance, it's Lou Francescetti. How are you today?
Lou, how you doing?
Good. Thanks. We know that the Cup's got to go through Pittsburgh.
Two time.
And also this year, they got one more obstacle. They got Tampa Bay Lightning that's playing off the charts. Where does this team stand compared to last year? I know they're injury-free again, which is something that a lot of teams wish that they probably had their going for them. Where does this team stand this year at this time of the year? And what's happening with Michael Elander? Is he more or less, is he floating, as I would put it? And Babcock sending him a message to get off his high horse and start playing the way he did it last year? Or is it more or less something that maybe Nylander's still youthness of being inconsistent through the season?
Well, Louis, I'll deal with your first point about this. Where does this team stand? I just tweeted out this morning, right now Toronto, I think, has won 9 one-goal games. And those, as you guys know, are the ones that would kill them before. I think, not just last year when they actually did make the playoffs, but I think it was something like 23 or something like that. One-goal losses last year. Right now it's only down in one or two at this point. So that is a huge difference that they're getting, getting the goaltending from Frederik Andersen and, slowly playing that kind of defensive hockey that Mike Babcock wants. And, that's the major improvement I see on the team at this point, is they're finally winning those one-goal games that used to kill them, in that long decade when they didn't win, didn't get in the playoffs. They were always missing by 5 or 6 points, and that's where those one-point games come into effect. Now, I guess I'll segue into the second part of your question about Nylander, because it does have a connection. It's, wanting the team to play better defense, and you come to practice and you see, Nylander doing a lot of work in one-on-one battles, that kind of thing. That's a compete level they want. I won't say they're upset with him, but at this stage, where do you put him? You have some really good right wingers. You have Connor Brown playing well enough to warrant ice time with Austin Matthews. You have a couple of other players doing well in that category. You have Marlowe being able to move over and play center. It's Nylander's lot in life right now that he's on the fourth line. He's going to have to start producing a bit more there, and maybe the picture will change. I don't think they're super hard on him, but you do sort of read between the lines when you hear Mike Babcock talk, and he's talking about the guys who deserve the ice time are going to get it. And without mentioning Nylander specifically, he talks up Connor Brown, and he hopes that some of that maybe rubs off on a guy like Nylander.
Lance, what is happening to the Ottawa Senators? They seem to be going into a free fall, and I don't see a recovery coming anytime soon. Is that franchise in trouble? Because I heard rumors that it's for sale, and I could see them going to Quebec City eventually.
Well, people have counted the Senators out before. I guess, a lot of dependence, obviously, on Erik Karlsson, on the goaltending, and, they... last year, a lot of people didn't think they'd get as far as they did, and they threw a big scare into a lot of teams. I don't think they're going away soon. It certainly is a crisis, but then again, just look at Montreal. Not that far away, distance wise, and certainly the team everybody had counted out. Suddenly, they get all their players back, and they're a different club. As to what their future is, I know there's a lot of debate there about putting another arena, maybe downtown, and drawing some more fans in there, and certainly a bad sign when you have to curtain off some of the upper bowl seats. That's not a great sign. But I don't see them going to Quebec. I think really Quebec's just a plan B for another team that may fall into some catastrophic situation in the next few years. But it's good that the Dallas guy has stepped forward and is going to purchase Carolina. There's a lot of teams, I think, that are in trouble, but I don't think they're going to be moving anywhere soon. And I don't think Quebec, unfortunately, for those of us who certainly want to go there, and Louis, I'm sure, remembers how much fun it was to go and play in Quebec, that they're going to be an expansion team. They'll probably just be sitting there as a plan B for another NHL team that falls into some kind of trouble.
We're talking to Lance Hornby. Since we're on the topic of Ottawa, I found it, and I want your comments on this, Lance. I found it astonishing that Karlsson this week went public saying, and he did it in the most strident of terms, that when, his contract comes up, he's not going to accept, he's going to get whatever the market bears, which is, of course, stating the obvious. I mean, why would you expect that he would take any less? It was just the tone that he did it in and the timing of when he did it. I found it astonishing why he would have gone public at that particular moment in time. And certainly with Eugene Melnyk as your owner, I almost got the sense that he was poking the bear. Were you surprised at all that Carlson decided at this particular moment in time to make that statement?
Well, it is. I mean, you know, a lot of teams now, they're just trying to avoid that kind of hawk, especially so early in the season. A lot of people say, well, I'll wait for another, more opportune time towards the end of the year to do something like that. The fact that he is a player of the stature that he is certainly worrisome to Ottawa people that he would put his, you know, that he would have his future sitting out there. That obviously that's going to cause some long nights, I think, in management's eyes. But they've put themselves in this box, so to speak. And again, I don't think Ottawa is as bad as they are. Are they good enough to make the playoffs? I don't know that either. But I think Carlson, especially the way he's ingratiated himself in that city the last few years, I think he's going to have a lot of fans behind him, and they're not going to have much of a club to watch if they let him walk.
We're talking to Lance Hornby. Lance, a couple more minutes, and we do have to talk about your book, and it's a great book. It's The Toronto and the Maple Leafs, and it's out. It'd be a great, great present during the holiday season. Find it under some tree. It'd be a great read if you're a passionate Toronto Maple Leafs fan or a passionate historical fan of the city of Toronto and the intertwining of the history of the Toronto Maple Leafs and the city of Toronto. Once again, Lance, tell us all about your book. Tell us how listeners can get a hold of it, what they can expect to see in your book.
Well, thanks, guys. It's not so much a book on the ice exploits of the Maple Leafs. It is, as you say, examining the fabric of the team in the city, going way back to the Irish immigrants, and really to the first recorded hockey game in Toronto way back in 1888. But people will say, well, why all the fuss about a team that has gone 51 years without a Stanley Cup, and what's the attraction? Well, the Leafs, maybe unlike the Montreal Canadiens, who certainly won a lot more cups, have a big part in the city's fabric. If you talk about, there's politics in there. There's, there's architecture with Maple Leaf Gardens and all that means. I mean, you can go right up into to what happened yesterday with TFC. Once again, the kind of long, the long reach of the Maple Leafs with Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment is effective there. But I think most of your listeners would recall how big the Leafs were in broadcast, the pioneering efforts of Foster Hewitt when Toronto only had when Toronto was one of two Canadian teams and the only English team, and all the legacy that Hewitt and his broadcasts had for not just here in Toronto but right across the country. And we're talking here on sports radio, and how much time of your show is taken up with people asking about the Maple Leafs and you guys talking about the Maple Leafs. So it touches sports radio as well. It touches things like the Toronto Transit Commission. When you think of the iconic station at College and the mural that is up there, I spoke to the gentleman, Charles Pachter, the artist who did that. And that is, of course, still there and passed by thousands of people every day. So it's just a look at where the love affair started, what it means, and why it's been so endearing. And I've been used a lot of stuff from the Toronto Sun in my old files, new interviews with the mayor, and even a guy who does Leaf-themed funerals at a funeral home. So there's a lot of things in there that I think readers are going to find interesting.
The book is Toronto and the Maple Leafs. It's Lance Hornby. Tell us, Lance, like I said, it's a great this time of year, people are exchanging presents, and it'd be a perfect present for a passionate Toronto Maple Leaf fan. Where can our listeners get a copy of your book?
It's published by ECW, available at all the big bookstores. You can also get it online, and a great forward by Ron Ellis, one of the great Maple Leafs, and a gentleman who is working now with the Hockey Hall of Fame. And he's one of the people like Conacher and like many other, Charlie Conacher, that is, that I go back and look at how, they were not only great to Toronto Maple Leafs, but significant Torontonians as well, raised in the area and, played for the Marlies and lived the whole experience. So I think people certainly in Toronto, but also outside, are going to get a kick out of it.
Lance Hornby. Lance, thanks so much. We appreciate your time.
Great. Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
It's always a pleasure. Lance Hornby, Making the point. Great book, by the way, Toronto and the Maple Leafs. Pick it up if you're a loyal Leafs fan, passionate about the history of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Lance is great. Some great research, some great historical Toronto Maple Leaf stuff. And Leafs, certainly, we talked about Larry Tannenbaum. He's got one. He's got two. And Naz, you keep you haven't come out and said it out directly, but you keep alluding to number three.
Well, I'm not sure
three.
Which is first, the Raptors or the Leafs. Who gets the cup first or their championship first? The NHL or the NBA?
That's it.
NHL?
Oh, yeah.
I see the Leafs taking that one off. You know what? I just realized we only have about 10 minutes on the show. I got a little note on my notepad. I've got some things. The show's got some Pizzaville. Pizzaville, of course, has been a loyal sponsor of ours since day one. Some great people. Angelo and Nella and Stephanie have been big supporters of our show. And we certainly thank them for all their support over the years. And, of course, our other sponsors as well. Dominic at Alt Infinity and Claudio at Steel's Paint. Certainly, we couldn't have done what we do without them. But the good people at Pizzaville want us to give some gift coupons away this morning. We've got three of them. $50 gift coupons to be used before the end of the year. If you haven't been to Pizzaville lately, or if you have been, you know that their pizza is fabulous. Their panzerottos, their chicken wings, their poppers. Listen, if you buy a phone right now, you've got a reasonably good shot of winning these Pizzaville gift coupons. So if you call in, I'll give you the numbers. Let me get it. I got to find them underneath all the Christmas decorations in studio here. 416-360-0740. Toll free, 1-866-740. So I've got a lot of listeners already know the numbers, Naz, because the lines are already buzzing. Anyways, I'll give out those numbers again. 1-866-740-4740. 416-360-0740. We got a lot of lines just lit up. If the phone's ringing, just wait. Somebody might get to you, and our producer will take down the number. Don't give up just because nobody's answering it. We're giving away three Pizzaville $50 gift coupons. Sebastian's on the phone. He's on the first call right now. If your line's ringing, you still got a shot. Just wait for him and see if he gets to the line. Thanks so much. And once again, I'll make arrangements to make sure they get in your hands. And they do have an expiry date of the end of the year, so they have to be used during the season. Gentlemen, following up our Toronto Maple Leaf discussion, MLSE, 1-2-3. We're talking about whether it's going to be the Raptors or whether it's going to be the Leafs. I think, and I'm going to let you go a little bit further with that discussion, Lou. You're suggesting it's hockey rather than basketball. Why? Why?
I just think there's more parity in the National Hockey League right now. The Leafs look like they're on the verge of doing something special here. Their talent is very young compared to the Raptors. I know how the second unit on the Raptor team is more or less has won this Raptor team a few more games than expected. DeRozan is probably in the middle of his prime. Lowry's on the way out, even though they're still good. And so is Ibaka in his 30s. I think that is why the Leafs have a lot more impact players than I think the Raptors do to carry them to the promised land right now.
Yes.
No, I agree with Lou. It's very tough to win in the NBA, especially with the West the way it is. And the Raptors have to go through a lot of hoops to get there. And
they also got the Celtics, and they also got King James over in Cleveland.
King James is playing great. LeBron James is playing fantastic.
He's LeBron's, he's in the discussion of one of the great players of all time. And that's a debate. I don't want to get into that one right now. That's a debate for a totally different day. It just seems to me that you can't win in the NBA because there's only unless you've got one of the marquee players, You've got to have a dominant player. And I'm sure there's been the odd example over the course of history. But most of the teams that have ever won the NBA championship had, say, one of the top three players in the league. Top three players in the league. Because there's only five of them on the floor at the same time. And one player on a basketball team makes a huge, much bigger impact on the result than one player on a hockey team.
Well,
and the Raptors don't have that dominant player. They just don't. DeRozan is a good basketball player. Lowry is a good basketball player. Are they one of the top 10 players in the league? I doubt it. And how do you, and overall, the only way around that model of having the dominant player is to have a team that's from one to player number nine to player number 10. You have to have a team with an incredible amount of depth.
The Raptors
with a lot of really good players, but the only other team I can think of like that is the Detroit Pistons from the late 80s, early 90s. Isaiah may have been one of the top five players in the game. I don't know, but I mean that was the Bird Magic era, and just before when
yeah,
Jordan
Isaiah,
started.
Isaiah Thomas was a hell of a player when he played.
But the Detroit Pistons didn't win because of Isaiah Thomas. They won because of Laimbeer and all those other guys.
Dumars.
I mean, they just wore you down. They could play defense like nobody else, and they wore you down. The Raptors don't have the dominant guy, and they don't wear you down. They're a good team, no question. Are they a competitive team for an NBA championship? In my estimation, no. Do I see it in the foreseeable future? No. I hope I stand corrected. The Maple Leafs, I have a totally different assessment. In Austin Matthews, in Mitch Marner, and in Nylander, especially Matthews, Matthew's going to be one of the top players in the game, if he isn't already. And in Nylander and in Marner, you have incredible talents. They just seem like they only have one or two holes. Lou, how far away are the Leafs?
Well, you know what? I agree to disagree with you because I know the Raptors don't have that dominant player. But then you look at Oak City, they have the dominant player. That's probably one of the best players in the league, top five, maybe top three, Russell Westbrook. And he's not any closer than what the Raptors are because they haven't been able to put the pieces around Russell Westbrook to actually win
Carmelo
that.
Anthony goes there and they're playing. Yeah. They're not even playing 500.
And Paul George, too. So the Leafs are closer because they have Austin Matthews. Marner and Nylander, you can put pieces in there that could complement Austin Matthews and be a little bit further ahead. They need another defenseman, and if Anderson keeps on standing on his head, they are going to be that much closer to winning a championship. So it's not necessarily having the dominant player, but if you got some good pieces that will give that dominant player a night off, two, three, maybe even four or five times a year, it's going to make that team a lot closer and a lot more united.
But isn't that what the Leafs are now? Just like which line came through last night?
The second line, Vamreem's like Bozak thing. But here we go. JVR is an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. Bozak's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah, but the best part is we got guys on the farm now.
But it's going to take them a few years to play up to the level that Bozak and JVR are.
JVR maybe. Bozak.
He's interchangeable.
He's a valuable piece, but I think you can replace Bozak.
Yeah, because you can put Marlowe or you can put Nylander at center. But you've got to put the right pieces together. Now, you know, we complain that Nylander's a little soft and he's got to take care of 200 feet of the ice.
He got benched last night in the third period.
Well, again, he's a little soft and he doesn't take care of 200 feet of the thing. But you've put him with Austin Matthews. And there's something happens between them. And look at Austin Matthews for the second time in the last five.
If they put you out with Austin Matthews, something would happen out there.
Put Matt Martin on the line the other night, and look what happened to him. It gives him a little bit more room. Yeah, he might not have the puck.
Exactly.
Anyways, guys.
Right? But he does give those two guys a little bit more room.
Yeah. Our good producer, Sebastian, just put the bug in my ear. It's time to get off the air. So to Mayor Maurizio Bevilacqua, to Lance Hornby, thank you. To all our lawyer listeners, thanks so much for supporting us. We'll be back again next Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Have a great week.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.